This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
Our scripture reading, we're going to deviate for only 1 week. I'll go back to the miracles. We'll go back to the miracles of Jesus next week. We're going to deviate 1 week, but I'll be talking about miracles today, because our scripture reading is found in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. This is what God's word says. It says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elijah said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, The handmaid hath not anything in the house but a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon the sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and shall set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, Go and sell the oil, and pay the debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Brief word of prayer. God, I cannot. You never said I could. God, you can. You always said you would. Lord, speak to us and through us. Have your will, have your way. And for all you do, we're going to praise you. For we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to take a few moments, and I want to talk to you about God has a miracle for your house. God has a miracle for your house. I was studying about Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson read the Bible. He studied the Bible, but Thomas Jefferson could not bring himself to believe the miracles of the Bible. He could not believe the miraculous. He thought it was a good book to live by and to set values by, but he just couldn't establish the miracles actually happening. So what he did, he took a Bible, and he started cutting and pasting. He literally cut all the miracles out of the Bible. And he cut and pasted, and he made him a Bible. He ended up with an 84-page book. You say, Pastor, what do you think? Here's what I think, folks. I'm not an 84-page book. I'm a 66 books of the Bible. And I believe it from the beginning to the end. I believe it's the infallible, inerrant, immutable Word of God. And I believe the God that we serve can do exploits. And I believe Matthew 19 and 26, with men things are impossible, but with God all things are possible. And I believe to be an overachiever, you've got to be an overbeliever, and you've got to put your faith and trust in God. A God, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to establish the fact, what is faith? Faith is believing he can and hoping he will. Faith is believing he can and hoping he will, and believing that God that we serve can do anything. Amen? The God that we serve can do anything. Now, what I want us to do today, I want us to dig into this story. And I want you to see six or seven things from this story. And in light of the fact that I've got six or seven things today, I've got to hurry. The first thing I want you to see is this. Every miracle begins with a problem. Every miracle begins with a problem. I'm going to preach. I can't preach them all. But I've been studying the 37 miracles that Jesus performed. And you know what I noticed? I thought, is there anything that parallels in all the miracles? And then I realized there is one thing that parallels in every miracle. Every miracle began with a problem. Every miracle began with a problem. You say, Pastor, I'm here today. I don't have any problems. Well, I got bad news. You can't have a miracle. You can't have a miracle because every miracle begins with a problem. Now, just out of curiosity, how many would say, Pastor Benny, I'm a candidate for a miracle. I've got a problem. Yes, keep it up if it's seated right beside you. Look, every miracle begins with a problem. Now, let me explain this woman. The Bible says that her husband was one of Elijah's preachers, but he died. And this woman had lost her husband. And apparently, she had a lot of credit. And she owed these creditors. And she had no way to pay her creditors. According to the Hebrew law, what the creditors could do is they could come and take your children and use them as bond servants. So she was scared. Can you imagine the shape she's in? She's lost her husband, and the creditors want to come and take her children. I'll tell you a parallel. We've got an enemy that wants our children. We've got an enemy that wants your son. We've got an enemy that wants your daughter. We've got an enemy, ladies and gentlemen, that wants our children. But it's not anything new. If you go back to Adam and Eve, right off the bat, the Bible says Cain slew Abel. What happened? You've got a lost son. I want to report to you this morning, the enemy literally wants our children. Every miracle begins with a problem. There's a second thing I want you to see. Know where to go when you don't know what to do. Know where to go when you don't know what to do. Verse 1 says she literally goes to the man of God. Know where to go when you don't know what to do. Because sometimes, folks, you won't know what to do. I heard about a baseball manager in the minor leagues, and his center fielder missed several balls. They'd go between his legs. He'd misjudge the ball. That manager in the minor leagues got so frustrated, he said to that center fielder, "You give me your glove. I'll go out there and play center field." He goes out in center field, and they hit him the first ball, and it bounces up and hits him in the mouth. They hit him the second ball, and it bounces up and hits him in the forehead. They hit a third ball to him. It bounces up and hits him in the eye. He gets frustrated. He walks back into the dugout, takes the glove, and throws it at the center fielder. He says, "You've got center field so messed up, nobody can play it." And folks, sometimes it seems like it's so messed up that we don't know what to do. Charles Stanley said, if you live long enough, everything and everybody that you put your faith and trust in will fail you. If you live long enough, everything and everybody that you put your faith and trust in will fail you, because ultimately, folks, God is going to allow that to happen because God wants our eyes upon Him, and God wants Him to be our source, and God wants Him to be the one that we look to. There was a man in the Bible. His name was Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat had three armies coming at him. I mean, they were coming at him from every angle. Kind of like being in a phone booth with three Jehovah's Witnesses. I mean, they were coming at him from every angle. And he said in 2 Chronicles 20 and 12, he said, "I don't know what to do, but my eyes are upon you. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are upon you." What are you saying, Pastor Benny? I'm saying, folks, when you don't know what to do, look to the one who does know what to do. When you don't know what to do, look to the one who does know what to do. I love what Elijah said in verse 2. In verse 2, he said, "What shall I do for thee?" He said, "Wait, don't you look to me. Don't you look to me." And ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, you don't look to the pastor. You don't look to the evangelist. You don't look to the Christian worker. There's only one miracle worker. That's God Almighty. That's God Almighty. That's God Almighty. You said, Pastor Benny, there's a miracle in your house. Well, remember, every miracle begins with a problem. Know where to go when you don't know what to do. And the third thing I'd say to you, focus on what you already have. Focus on what you already have. I love what verse 2 says. Verse 2 says that Elijah said to her, "What do you have in your house? What do you have in your house?" Focus on what you already have. Moses had a rod in his hand. Peter had fishing nets in his hand. A lad had 5 loaves and 2 fishes in his hand. This lady didn't say, "I have nothing." She said, "I have nothing but a pot of oil." Pastor, I need a miracle. What do you recommend? Focus on what you already have. Focus on what you already have. She said, you say, "Pastor Benny, look, I need a physical miracle. I need God to touch my body." Well, I want to ask him, have you thanked him for what health that you have? I'm saying focus on what you already have. "Pastor Benny, I've got a child that's 1,000 miles away from God." Have you thanked God that they're still alive? Have you thanked God that they're still breathing? I'm saying focus on what you already have. I'm saying John chapter 6 verse 11, when Jesus needed a miracle before he turned the 5 loaves and 2 fishes into enough food to feed 20,000 people, he thanked God for what he had. I'm saying today, you say, "Pastor Benny, I need a miracle." I just want to challenge you to thank God for what you have. Thank God for, you say, "Pastor Benny, I've just got one pot of oil. I've just got one vase of oil." I'm saying today, thank God for what we already have. Let me tell you something. The fourth thing I learned from this story is faith requires you to do something. Faith, oh wait, come on. Faith requires you to do something. Did you ever think of this? 2/3 of the word God is go. 2/3 of the word God is go. James 2:18 says, "Yea, thou may say, I have faith and thou hast works. Show me thy faith. Show me thy faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works." Here's what I'm saying. Faith requires you to do something. Look at verse 3. "Go borrow vessels abroad from all thy neighbors." You say, "Well, wait, Pastor, borrowing's bad." No, no, no. Borrowing's not bad if it makes you money. That's another message. Borrowing is not bad if it saves souls. You say, "What do you think about borrowing?" Well, you just want to make sure you don't have more saddle than you've got horse. You say, "Well, I'm anti-borrowing." Folks, I came into this world owing my mother 9 months room and board, amen? But faith requires you to do something. Look here. 10 guys had leprosy. And the Bible tells us in Luke, he touched these 10 men with leprosy. And he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." Why did he say, "Go show yourself to the priest"? Because you got to understand something. According to the law, a person could not acclimate in society, back into society, until the priest said they were clean. But notice what that scripture says. As they went, they were cleansed. What if they hadn't have moved as they went? They were cleansed. You say, what, Pastor Benny? I'm asking God to physically touch my body. Wait. It may mean pushing the hamburger and order of fries back. Amen? As they went, they were cleansed. Brother Benny, I need God to bless me financially. It may mean you tithing. As they went, they were cleansed. I need God to bless my organization. It may mean you getting up and doing something. Sitting still and wishing makes no man great. The good Lord sends the fishing, but you've got to dig the bait. I'm saying to you, faith requires you to do something. I've got to hurry. Number five, don't limit what God can do. Don't limit what God can do. Psalm 78, 41 says you limit the Holy One of Israel. Now wait. If you look at verse 3, he said you go borrow all the vessels you can. Wait. Not a few, but you borrow all the vessels you can. D.L. Moody said, if God's your partner, make your plans big. William Carey said, attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. 2 Corinthians 4 and 7 says that this right here, folks, what you're looking at, is an earthen vessel. We're earthen vessels. We take so much stock in this. One translation of that earthen vessels is this: crackpots. You say, Pastor Benio, this is so special. God said it's not special. God said you're just a bunch of crackpots. Well, Brother Benny, I'm 58 and they tell me I look 40. They're lying to you. You don't look 40. You're just a crackpot. We're just earthen vessels and we're all developing the bees. Baldness, bunions, baldness, bulges, bunions, bifocals, and bad memory. Amen. We're all developing it. Life's like a bath. The longer you stay, the more wrinkles you get. No, you don't look 50. You look 48. Take a 58. Look a hard. Take a hard look in the mirror. But here's what I know. What got me on all that? Here's what I know. You need to let God pour oil into your vessel. You say, Pastor Benny, I'm not smart enough. Oh, you need to let God pour oil into your intellect. You say, oh, Pastor Benny, I'm not strong enough. You need to let God pour oil into your strength. Pastor Benny, I'm not bold enough. Oh, yes, you are. You need to let God pour oil into your boldness. Here's what I want you to see. Let God pour oil into your vessel. That oil represents the Holy Spirit of God. Let me tell you the second thing I want you to see. Every vessel was short of its potential. Go get all these empty vessels. But folks, I want you to know something. They were just sitting around. They didn't become valuable until the oil got poured into them. I wish somebody would get with me today. They didn't become valuable until the oil was poured into the vessel. And when the Holy Spirit was poured into the vessel, that's why Psalms 92 verse 10 says, thou shalt be anointed with fresh oil. It's the fresh oil, it's the fresh anointing that makes all the difference in the world. The balloon man was putting helium in balloons, sending them up in the air. He did it to a green balloon. He did it to a red balloon. He did it to a blue balloon. And there was a little black boy. He was standing over there watching. And he said, let me ask you, will a black balloon go up like that? He said, son, come here. He put that helium into that black balloon. That jammy skyrocketed. He said, son, it's not what's on the outside. It's what's on the inside. It's not what's on the outside. It's what's on the inside. Let me tell you something else. Shut the doors to doubt. Shut the doors to doubt. If you look at verse 4, he said, now wait. He said to this woman, you go into a room, you take your boys in there with you, take them two boys, and you shut the doors. Because see, they're going to be naysayers outside. They're going to be people say, you can't, you shouldn't, you wouldn't. That won't ever happen. We've never done it like that before. You can't do that. Nobody in our family's ever done that. Nobody in our group's ever done that. You got to shut the door to the naysayers. You get in that room and you shut the door to the naysayers. Hey, young people, listen to me. If you can't change your friends, then change your friends. If you can't change your friends, change your friends. You need to get around some people that said you can do all things through Jesus Christ. If God be for us, who can be against us? Yes, God can touch your body. Yes, God can touch your marriage. Yes, God can touch your child. God can. One day, a group of frogs were going through the woods. By the way, this is a true story. And two of the frogs fell into a pit. And the other frog said, you're never going to get out. You'll never get out of that pit. They kept jumping and jumping and jumping. And those frogs said, you're never going to get out of that pit. And one of them got over in the corner. And he died. But the other one kept jumping. And guess what? He got out of the pit. He got out of the pit. Oh, he got out of the pit. And when he got out, the other frog said, we were discouraging you so much. How did you get out of the pit? He said, you don't understand. I'm deaf. I thought you were encouraging me. I thought you were encouraging me. Folks, shut the doors to the naysayers. Through God, we can do all things. I got to quit. I got to quit even though I don't want to. Give me one more, Pastor. Oh, gladly. Keep pouring oil into empty vessels. Keep pouring oil into empty vessels. You said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying, look, don't you borrow a few vessels. You borrow a bunch of them. You borrow a bunch of them. And you keep pouring oil. You keep pouring oil. Do you know? Wait, folks, stick with me today. Do you realize as long as they was pouring oil out of that one base, they kept filling up bowls. They kept filling up containers. They kept filling up. They kept filling up. They kept filling up. As long as they were pouring oil, that's what we got to do. That's what we got to do. We just got to keep pouring oil into other people. We just got to keep giving. I'm not going to quit. If you want to leave, hit the door. We got to keep pouring oil. We got to keep pouring oil. We got to keep investing in people. We got to keep loving on people. I heard a young girl had a stroke. I heard a young girl had a brain bleed. I heard a young girl had a serious situation. I said, I'll tell you what I got to do. I got to make my way up to Grady Hospital. I got to make my way up to Grady Hospital. I got to take some banana bread. I got to take some prayers. I've got to encourage. Adriana, stand up, young lady. Adriana, stand up, young lady. I just got to keep pouring some oil. I just got to keep encouraging. I just got to keep doing it. And you know what I've learned? You can be seated. I know I'm not going to quit. You know what I've learned? As long as I'm pouring that oil. Say, Pastor Wade, have you been through some hard times? What's your survival? I may sleep with this tonight. I'm done. Most of what's on TV today is a bunch of trash. Hey, much of what's online is a bunch of trash. I don't know why we watch and listen to the trash. It's a bunch of trash. Years ago, there was a wholesome program called Touched by an Angel. This is the last story, and I'll let you go home. Touched by an Angel. Barbara would watch it. She'd rewatch it. She'd watch it over and over and over. And I had a friend, and I said, I want to take Barbara to meet Roma Downey. Roma would like to meet Barbara. I know she would. Might give her some banana bread. So we did. And Roma said, you know how this story started? Touched by an angel? I said, no, Roma, how did it start? She said, did you ever hear of a lady named Ivy Olson? Tell me about Ivy Olson. How many, by the way, some of you are old like me. How many of you have ever watched Touched by an Angel? Yeah. The rest of you don't know what you're missing. Ivy Olson woke up one Thanksgiving, had three weenies. That was all she had in the house. Three. They probably weren't Oscar Mayer, but wieners. She didn't even have buns. She had two sons, and she said to those two sons, for Thanksgiving, we'll go to the park. And they go to the park, bow their heads, thank God for three weenies, and eat them. And then she said to her two sons, boys, didn't we have a great Thanksgiving? They said, Mom, we did. They go back to the apartment. They're going in. A lady hollers at her and says, Ivy, I didn't catch you in time. You don't know me, but I live two or three doors down. I want you and your sons to come and have Thanksgiving with me. She said, we go in there. She's got turkey dressing, pumpkin pie, all the fixing. I mean food. Make a bulldog break his chain, the hobo miss his train. I mean, it was food. After we finished, the lady said, "Ivy, take some of this for you and your boys. Would y'all eat the rest of this turkey? Would you take this dressing? Would you take these green beans? Would you take this pumpkin pie? Would you take all?" She said, "We will." She said, "We thank the Lord." And the next day, I walked over to that lady's apartment. I couldn't get anybody to the door. I went to the apartment manager. And he said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry, but nobody has lived in that apartment in months." Ivy Olson said, "I've been touched by an angel." You know what Ivy Olson did? Later on, she started the Angel Network. She started a network of giving food, of giving clothing, of giving help to less fortunate, destitute people. What was Ivy Olson doing? Pouring that oil. Pouring that oil. Pouring that oil. Oh, folks, some of you need to quit trying. Start pouring some oil. Start pouring some oil. Start pouring some oil. I'm done till next week. But folks, it is no secret what God can do. God can do anything. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Our God can do anything.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.